you know, to get you into this Asek be Karban Pesach, we saw that language in the Mechilta, but we thought the Mechilta was still incredibly significant because the Mechilta, you know, creates the framework, you know, of the need for, you know, radical transformation for the purposes of the Geula. You know, Me'idach, you know, the perspective of the Psikta, which really talks about, especially referring to the later Pasuk of Mishchu Kichu, the Meshicha, the Lakicha, as, you know, determinant, albeit for the purposes of really sticking it in the eye of the Egyptian, but again, with a real emphasis on the, as we were medayik in the Pasuk, you know, Dabru al kol adas Yisrael lemor be'asor lachodesh hazeh v'yikchu lahem ish selave savo selabayis v'ayalacham mishmeres is a few psukim later. The adas Yisrael, you know, coalesces around v'kicha mi be'asor. Very powerful thing. So, those are the ideas that we were exploring. And we'll take a look at the tour here, then we'll, you know, take it a little bit further. Okay, so the tour says, Ellie, go ahead. What do you need to take the tour for us? Shabbos shalifnei ha-Pesach. Mekcho be'asor, kedichsev. Meaning on Thursday, so it means that Shabbos happened to be Yud. Kedisa b'seder olam, and nimsa sheyud b'chodesh heya Shabbos. Ray Shalom Hamitzrim, Ray Lamazel Achem, Chaos, they were literally grinding their teeth. Right, a little bit less, you know, colorful than, you know, Nafshan Porachas Me'alehen, but still an image of extreme, you know, frustration and anger and consternation, right, that we could agree about. We're going to get there. It's a major deal that they have. It's like a linchpin, actually. Okay? Avahayu Shineim Chaos. Eloheim v'lohayu rishoyim lomar lohem. Couldn't say a thing. Right. So gadol is a modifying term of the, you know, the magnitude of the miracle. And Daniel, in your own terms, what's the, you know, what's the great miracle here? In your own words, I mean, not just to recapitulate it, but what's the miracle? I mean, in a sentence. That they didn't, you know, seek retribution, you know, that God sort of like, you know, muzzled them, you know, v'lohayu rishayin lomar lahem davar, is an extremely important thing, you know, that you know, the once taskmaster were rendered, like, totally hapless. Moshe Rabbeinu himself had expressed the idea that we need Neochana derech Shloshes Yamim Bamidbar. Why? Hey Nizbach as to Avas Mitzrayim Leinehem. Right, they're obviously going to kill us. Right, it would be, you know, an absurdity on its face for us to try, you know, to have this experience here. It was just a davar pashut, you know, move on me'elav, that this was the reality in which everybody found themselves. And so, if that's true, you know, so the fact that they were able to do this, you know, v'lakchu lahem, and there's an emphasis here in the Torah for sure on the lakicha, mekcho mi ba'asar, v'lakchu lahem kol echad selepischo, you know, so that is the greatness of the miracle. So that the lakicha did not trigger, you know, a massive retaliation. So certainly we've isolated the lakicha here from the shechita, right? Right, because, you know, this supposed reaction should have happened, I don't know, sometime on the 10th or the 11th or the 12th or the 13th. The only even reference here to the shechita is when the Egyptian queries the Jew and he says, oh, you know, I'm going to slaughter this, you know, b'mitzvah sashem aleinu. So that's where you start to get references to the shechita. But it seems like, you know, the tour is giving, you know, a lot of credit and a lot of weight to the lakicha per se. Pesach Mitzrayim, mekcho ba'asor. And, you know, his idea is a fascinating idea that this became like a calendar day, that it became Shabbos HaGadol. And that we remember, you know, the day. It's interesting, you know, why should we remember the Shabbos instead of just the 10th? We'll talk about that a little bit. You know, the Aruch HaShulchan will relate to that a little bit. Many Rishonim spoke about that point. We'll leave that mostly to the side for now. But be that as it may, that was significant enough to take, you know, Yud Nisan, or basically whatever the annual equivalent of Yud Nisan is, and turn it to a day on the calendar. You know, Shabbos, you know, Haggadol. It's not just the Shabbos before Pesach, but it has its own yichus, right? It's a day which has its own story. Neis Gadol, you know, not Kriyas Yamsuf, and not, you know, Makas Bechoros, but it stands alone. And that is the Lakicha, which didn't trigger, you know, the expected Egyptian, you know, rage, you know, and reaction. Okay, yeah, Jonathan, go ahead. What's that? Yeah, so we'll talk about that. In other words, that's sort of like alluding to a little bit at the end of last period that maybe, you know, we can get the Egyptians a little bit more in the rear view mirror here, not totally, but to make it more about the personal transformation, the internal transformation, because again, if you read the Psukim, there's nothing about, you know, Velohehem, Asashem, you know, Shvatim or something like that, that this is about the Egyptians. I agree, and I think that it is possible, and I think, you know, the Makoros exist to substantiate it, but we'll have to build there systematically. Alexander?
I mean, couldn't you read it just by the end about what they were kind of like going to take over, you know, how much the children are going
to win? Yeah, of course. I mean, they say that they're going to slaughter it. It's some combination, because for Lakula Hamakol Echad, we are, after all, commemorating the day of the Lakicha, you know, not the day of the Shechita. So it's true that the Egyptian reaction would have been to the prospect of them slaughtering it, but the prospect of them slaughtering it was made real by the fact that they had done a Lakicha. Right? That's the idea, is that they've created the optics which will now support this kind of... Well, that's where we're going. We're trying to get there. We'll try to get there. I don't want to, you know, take any shortcuts. But yeah, that's what I'd like to try to say. The question is why, and you know how we're going to get there. Okay, so just hang on one second. I just want to get through the Beis Yosef, and then we'll definitely have time to take the questions. Okay, so the Beis Yosef presents a different tradition here. Avram, go ahead. So, Kedisa b'Medrash. Notice the Kishalakhu Pischehem, right? That when they did the Lakichas Karban Pesach, suddenly Be'osasha at that moment. Right, the Makay Mitzrayim bivichorehem, that the Bichore Mitzrayim became the instruments for the destruction of, you know, many Egyptians. There was a civil war that ensued, so it's a different, you know, tradition than we saw in the Tur and the Psikta, etc. I like it very much because, well, why do I like it? You could figure it out. My premise to you is that the Lekichas Haseh was formative to Adas Yisrael. So what impact did it have on the Egyptians?
Destroyed their
armies. Yeah. It triggered a civil war. So I'm very fond of this Medrash. This Medrash seems to be, you know, picking up on the idea that the formation of the Jewish people happened in parallel, you know, with the disintegration of Egyptian society, okay? And that can be timed to the Lekichas Karban Pesach. Okay, so that's, you know, like an important Medrash in its own right. Rabbeinu Kasav Hanes Be'inyan Acher, okay? We know that the Torah records it differently. It's not about the Egyptian civil war, but it's about the, you know, lack of retaliation that you would have expected. So here comes the question that for us will be a huge point of emphasis. Okay, so go ahead. Avram Vim Tomar. Ah. You can see that I love that question. So the Beis Yosef says, well, wait a minute. Right? You know, if the idea is the lack of Egyptian retaliation, right, so then, right, which is a tourist perspective, which is, you know, the Psikta lends itself to that, you know, as well. So then, what's the question? Who cares about the Lekicha? So the Beis Yosef is really getting at my issue, which is how much is it about the 4 days and how much is it about the Maisa Lekicha? This is like, why do you put so much emphasis on Lekicha, right? You know, it's any point they should have, you know, retaliated massively at the very prospect of their God being slaughtered. So the fact that they didn't retaliate on the 10th, I don't know. Maybe that's greater. Maybe it's less great than the fact that they didn't do it on the 11th, 12th, 13th, and 14th. Maybe it should be like Hanukkah. Maybe it's, you know, Mosif Aholich. I don't know. 5 years, 7 years?
A holiday from the 10th to the 21st?
No, I'm just saying. Maybe the Nes got even, you know, got even greater with each day. So the Beis Yosef answers. It's an interesting answer. It says, Yesh Lomar. Shinei Hamitrim. Avalachar Sha'avar Hayom Harishon. Came on to Dashu. So basic idea that's being suggested is that, like, you know, the Ikar Shas Chimum, if I could use such an analogy, you know, was, you know, immediately when they heard, you know, that the Jews had taken the Seh. And certainly when they, you know, approached them and asked what they were planning on doing with that Seh. So once that first day has passed, you know, they weren't happy about it, but Kivan de Dashu, they, you know, had kind of assimilated the information. It was no longer the Yom Mar. You know, we talk about the first day of Avelos, the Yom HaMisa, the Yom HaKavura, you know, having a Doraisa status in its own right. So the Beis Yosef is like heading in that direction, but only because he projects the Mitzrim as having such a central role to this entire discussion. Right? If you don't go in that direction, then you'll hold, you know, maybe an entirely new approach will be warranted. That's really what I want to try to be mechadish in this shir. Go ahead, Akiva.
Just in terms of Alex's question, I think there's what strengthens that is the difference between the Pisgah and the Torah. Because the Pisgah says that they were kind of appalled by the sight of the Mishnah. But the Torah seems to present that there was a dialogue, and only once the shlita did they react. It wasn't that they had the shinam kaihos from seeing the Jews do the lekicha. It was only once they heard about the shlita. But in the Pisgah's presentation, it seems like the actual lekicha triggered some kind of reaction.
Okay, these are, you know, debatable points. I don't. I mean, you know, it says mechomi ba'asor in the tour as well. And, you know, lachu lahem kolecha tzela pischo v'kasher oso b'chari mitaso, that certainly got the Egyptians' attention. So I wasn't so moved by Alex's question, to be honest. I mean, I think that, you know, it's a combination, but the lekicha triggered everything. They would have never reacted. Bichlal. In private, I saw your hand before.
Yeah, it's more of an Agadah-based question. You can see what if you want.
All right, we'll come back.
As a matter of doing everything that we had previously requested from Aaron, we had asked first to go towards ascending the desert and then as entering the city, specifically we want to leave so we don't have to anger everybody, and we're going to take our children, specifically mentioned, and also the complete families. We're going to take all these things with us because it's Hashem, and Har never gave us permission to do this, but we're getting to the point where we're saying it doesn't matter what you say anymore.
Right, it's like a step by step. It's very elegant. I'm going to go in a different direction, but I think your approach is elegant. It's a way of saying that everything that we once used to request, now we're just taking. It's sort of like the natural conclusion of this kind of an approach, that it was to stick it to the Egyptians. So at many levels, and the Shechitas HaPesach is like the apotheosis. It's like the most, the most dramatic example of that. But it's really part of a rubric where everything that they were doing was a way of sticking it to the Egyptians. Elegant. Okay. So here's where I'm going to, come out swinging with my approach, and hopefully we can, begin to put some of the pieces together. The kichaso mi be'asor being the defining thing, but not so much because of what it said to the Egyptians and the reaction that it triggered from the Egyptians, but as the Torah says, because of what it meant for Adas Yisrael or Kahal Adas Yisrael when it was all said and done, with the gauntlet, as we like to say, of the Karbon Tamid, hanging, in the background as well. Vayikra Moshe l'chol ziknei Yisrael vayomer aleihem mishchu, again, very strong emphasis on the lakicha, mishchu kichu lachem tzon l'mishpechotechem v'shachtu ha-pasach. Right here, that space between the mishicha and lakicha and the shechita has, been bridged quite literally from the span of psukim to just a few words, with an enormous emphasis on the mishicha u'lakicha, as already noted in the psikta. Shmos Rabbah, hado dechsev mishchu k'chulachem, amazing, kilomar mishchu yideichem me'avodas kochavim, u'kichulachem tzon, right? So you have to withdraw, refrain, lift up your hands from the avodah zarah, i.e. the avodah zarah that you're involved in, u'kichulachem tzon, and in the place of the avodah zarah, take that very symbol of avodah zarah, right? V'shachtu Eloheim shal Mitzrayim, v'asu ha-pesach, right? As the pasuk says, v'shachtu ha-pasach. It's like a careful reading of the pasuk. Shebekach Kadosh Baruch Hu poseach aleichem. This is what will be necessary for God to not destroy you as well, right? So confirming the Mechilta's basic reading that you're all going to be destroyed unless you can do this, but now with an emphasis on not just sticking it to the Egyptians, but what's new? Where's the new information here, Avrami?
Showing your allegiance to Hashem.
Showing your allegiance to Hashem by abandoning the Avodah Zarah. Now you see the bridge point, what we've been talking about. Questions of loyalty, right? So you have to repudiate Avodah Zarah to start this process. The Bach has an amazing comment on the tour that we just saw. We saw the Beis Yosef, but take a look at this amazing comment of the Bach. It really is just a total keeper. Rubam shel Yisrael avdu avodas gilulim, kedivrei Razal, mishchu yideichem avodas zarah. He's quoting the Medrash that we just learned together. Ukchulachem tzon shel mitzvah. The alkein, and therefore, just pay careful attention, hayushineim chaos. This is why the Egyptians reacted the way that they did. Kiarata of Dulo, the Achshav Shochten es Elohehen. It's a completely different approach. It's not really about the Egyptians, but what's the Bach saying? Oh, it's a personal and collective, even a national transformation of Klal Yisrael. What got the Egyptians so incensed wasn't just the Shechitas Eloheihem, but more importantly, the Bach says, the betrayal, right? You know, yesterday, 24 hours ago, you know, you were with us. And all of a sudden, now, you know, you're switching sides, right? Ki ad ata avdulo, v'achshav shochtan es Eloheihem. So it wasn't that the Egyptians, you know, were just upset about this attack on their God. It was much more profound than that. It was about their recognition that the Jews were undergoing this remarkable transformation. And this is the piece that we were missing the whole time. This is the piece that we were looking for, obviously. Right? The Lekichas Karban Pesach is critical to the formation of Adas Yisrael. The culmination of the process, the Shechitas Karban Pesach, gives it even further direction. The Kahal Adas Yisrael. But not so much because we're just, you know, trying in the tunnel, this was, you beautifully laid it out, right? That we're trying to stick it to the Egyptians, you can say that. But, you know, I'm going a different direction here because of what it meant in terms of our own internal development. Up until now, culturally, spiritually, we were indistinguishable from the surrounding Egyptians. That's what the Bach says. Ad ata, right? Even if we were politically oppressed, culturally, you know, we sought out and embraced the culture of our oppressors. And we needed to distinguish ourselves from that. That's the entire diuk, and it's a just an absolutely correct one, of the Mechilta. And the Mechilta is saying, yeah, you know, because without this, you know, ate rom ve'arya, arom mikol mitzvos, there's just nothing that would allow God to pass over you. You would just be included within the Egyptian mass. And candidly, all of the halachos of Bechor make no sense unless you understand this. The idea that, you know, Kadesh li kol Bechor, petel kol rechem b'nei Yisrael, ba'adam uva b'meyal lihu, ki li kol Bechor, reflects the idea that, you know, in a system of pure din, getting back to our first semester this year, you know, what would have happened? This wouldn't have been enough. You can't tell me that you do hundreds of years of Avodah Zarah, you know, and then in a moment, you know, transform everything. But like we talked about in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Ches, Yesh Kono Lamo B'Sha'achas. It was like a defining, transformative moment. It was a Rubicon for the Jewish people. Be'asor Lachodesh Hazeh, in that year, never to be repeated, really, but when the moment when we ourselves self-differentiated from the Egyptians, and the natural response, quid pro quo, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, Ufasachti Aleichem, that I will, okay, if you're willing to differentiate yourselves from the Egyptians, then I'm willing to treat you as differentiated from the Egyptians. But, and I just wanted to round out this point, but I think that, you know, the prospect of that, you know, not being the case, if you're not willing to do that, so then Hashem says, I won't. And there's this massive literature within Chazal that makes exactly that point. That was required for, you know, Hashem to be posted, even though it was always an act of chemla. The word Pesach means, you know, lachus, it is chemla. It's not pure din that you should just be able to earn it in a moment. Vinei teich eis dodim, you know, say chasavos, all fine, or the shvua. But we had to do something. Something needed to change. We had to differentiate ourselves culturally, spiritually, theologically, you know, from the Egyptians. And the lekichas korban Pesach, the mishchu yedeichem e'avodah zarah, the Meshicha, the Lekicha, that was the critical point. Was it heightened? Was it highlighted? You know, was it amplified by the Shechita? Yes, of course. That put the Kahal in Kahal Adas Yisrael. But the critical moment was clearly on Yud. And to me, that's exactly the answer to the Beis Yosef's question. Right, the Beis Yosef is a bit of a pickle because he keeps on emphasizing, ala the tour, the expected Egyptian reaction. So if your emphasis is the expected Egyptian reaction, his question is really better than the answer. So why isn't the 11th or 12th or 13th or 14th as great a miracle? But if your emphasis isn't, oh, the fact that there would have been, you know, an expected Egyptian retaliation and it just never came, but if the point of emphasis is the fact that the Jewish people, you know, repudiated in one moment, you know, generations, intergenerational Avodah Zarah. I mean, we talked about the Rambam Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Aleph, what does the Rambam say there? That, you know, the Shesila of Avram Avinu, that plant that, you know, he put in of monotheism, Kimat V'ne'ekar, it was almost completely uprooted in Egypt. You know, until God sent Moshe to, you know, get us out of there. You know, the idea is we were this close. And so the Beis Yosef's question is an excellent one. I think the answer is it's not really about the Egyptians. If it's about us, then of course we mark that moment. Shas Lekicha was everything. Because Mishchu Yedecha Me'avodah Zarah, basically you're not Egyptian. And I'll treat you like an Egyptian if you want to act like an Egyptian. Okay? But you're not an Egyptian and you have an opportunity to differentiate yourself from Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim. Now I just want to bring it home, okay? With two, I just think, incredibly clear, you know, rayos from Chazal. One of them is from the Haggadah itself, and the other one is the Tanchuma. Rasha Ma'u Omer. Ma Avodah Hazos Lachem. Right? In the context, of course, he's asking not just about, you know, the holiday, but what, of course, is he asking about? The Karban Pesach, right? Obviously, it's Shmos Perek Yud Bey's question. So the you know, the Baal Haggadah is including this Lachem Vilolo Lufi Shehosi Esatzu Min Hakal Kafar Beikar. So the way that we would normally understand this is he's withdrawing from the Jewish people into some neutral space. I don't know. Maybe he wants to join the Spinoza Club. Maybe he's an atheist. Maybe he's an agnostic. You know. Maybe it's you know he's a hippie. Who knows? You know, he just wants love and not, you know, animal sacrifice. Maybe he's PETA guy. You know, there's any number of possibilities. But, you know, lachem v'lo lo, hosi etzatzmo min haklal, kafar be'ikar. But that's actually not the pshat. If I miss is what you had, you know, picked up on, I said I would get there. Af ata hakeyesh shinav ve'amor lo ba'avor zeh sa'ashem li b'tzeisi mimitzrayim li v'lo lo. Ilu hayasham lo haya nigal. What's the pshat? It's not that he's withdrawing into a neutral space. The way that we understand the Rasha is, yeah, he's saying, it's exactly right, he's saying, why do you have to differentiate yourselves from what we've been doing all this time?
Inertia.
We've, you know, it's, the Avodah Zarah of the Egyptians was good enough for me yesterday, and for you. Ma'avodah zos lachem, what are you doing? You know? And so you say, okay, if you, you know, want to act that way, af ata hakeyesh shinav. It's the same language that the Egyptians were described, hayu kohenesh shinehem, right? And the point is, ilu hayasham lo haya nigal, it's not like a punishment. I think it's like, oh, your punishment, this is your punishment, you're not going to be nigal. It's not a punishment. It's a natural outcome. If you want to be Egyptian, so you'll be left in Egypt. Just like the Medrash says, V'chamushim, alu v'nei Yisrael, meretz Yisrael, mechan mechamisha, yeshomir mechan mechamishim, yeshomir mechan mechamesh meyos, Rabbi Norai, omer havoda, v'lo echan mechamesha salafim. Right? 20%, 2%, 0.2%, or 0.02%. 1 out of 5, 1 out of 50, 1 out of 500, 1 out of 5,000. Right? Chazal did not hide from the fact, right, that very few Jews were willing to make the choice of the 10th of Nisan. Just like historically, tragically, so many have continued to ask the question, Ma'avodah zos lachem? Why do you have to be different? Let's just be part of the majority culture. Whether that majority culture is the Egyptian culture, whether it's the Hellenistic culture, whether it's the Roman culture, whether it's Enlightenment culture, whether it's communist culture. I mean, you laugh at these things now because you don't live then. But you don't realize the allure, you know, in its day. Just like, you know, you have people today who say, you know, that, you know, whatever you want to describe it as, pluralistic culture, relativistic culture, whatever the regnant, you know, gestalt of our zeitgeist is. So, you know, you have plenty of people saying, you know, why do you want all these regressive, you know, antiquated laws? Basically, ma'avudah zos lachem. It's always been true. It always, you know, sadly is part of our history. So Chazal, I don't want to say they're taking like a pessimistic perspective here. You know, Rashi Kedarko quotes only the most optimistic of these shitos. You don't think 20% is particularly optimistic, you know, until you see the actual primary source that Rashi is working with, and you realize Rashi always, you know, ba'ayin tova. You know, he always saw the Jews in a very favorable light. But, you know, at best, it was 20% who were willing to make this choice of the kichaso, you know, mi ba'asor. So point is, for the premise to be true, that it wasn't so much about the Egyptians, but it was about whether we were willing to separate ourselves from the Egyptians, so that in turn, quid pro quo, ufasachti aleichem. It's still an act of chemla. You can't really say that it was din, but at least we earned it in some measure. Vinei etech eis dodim. God wants to be able to do this for us, but we've got to do something. So the lekicha was that something. Mishchu ukechu. It's a transformative moment. And it was one that Jews at the time, in very large numbers, were not prepared to make, right? As the Pasuk says, you know, Dabru al Ziknei Yisrael, and Vachamushim alu v'nei Yisrael mi'aretz Yisrael. And it's a drama that the Baal Haggadah thought that was worth reiterating in every generation, right? Because V'chol dor v'dor chayav adam l'eretz Yisrael ki'ilu hu yatzim mi'mitzrayim means that you have to bring yourself to that personal Rubicon every single year and ask yourself whether you are willing to reject aspects of the, you know, ambient culture that's always existed and define yourself in a particular heuristic way as a member of Adas Yisrael. In Egypt, what that called for was taking for the very symbol of their culture, Toavas Mitzrayim. What Moshe Rabbeinu himself said, it would be inconceivable that we would take Velo Yiskelunu, right? Because it would be such a massive affront. But again, it's not about, what a miracle then that the Egyptians didn't, you know, annihilate us. That's the tour in the Beis Yosef. But are you willing to do, you know, that which you need to do to differentiate yourself from Egyptian culture? And therefore, we'd always remember that day. And that will help us understand, this is the point that we'll get to tomorrow, why not just commemorate the 10th, but commemorate Shabbos. You'll see what I'm driving at in a moment, in terms of Shabbos being gufa, lahavdil ben Yisrael la'amim, a very important point. And the afata hakeyas shinav, getting back to the, you know, the language of how the Egyptians reacted to lokichas, Lekichas Hatzon Biyom Ha'asor. Okay, so questions. I need to get all the questions in now. We're at a natural breakpoint. We have much more to do with our analysis. Lekichas Habib Ha'asor, but let's hang on for a second. Okay, so Nachum, Avram Yaakov, Yedison. Go ahead. And then Ephraim will get you it also, because you've been holding on to your question.
The second half of the Midrash places sort of the deaths of all people who are not able to be saved.
Right.
So,
yeah, no, it wouldn't be compatible with that part of the medrash. The reason I was interested in this medrash is taking the position that there was a small number of Jews that actually left. Right? That it wasn't, it really did require something to change. You needed to opt in. A 100%. The save of this medrash makes it clear that, you know, that it happened earlier. But the point is that, you know, some fraction of Jews. This is where I think the Tanhuma and the Mechilta line up nicely. Is that the default was that nobody should get out, and that very few actually did. Okay, Akiva or Avram Yaakov.
Just to clarify, fact that it says Bevor is also Hashem lead, because this Mitzrayim means that, like, the reason that I opted in was not to disprove,
It only because of the opt-in to the process of mitzvos did God take me out of Egypt. Exactly. Not as an onesh, but as a natural consequence. Right. It's, if you don't want to break out of Egyptian culture, God wouldn't have taken you out of Egyptian culture. You know, you had to opt in at this stage. Isaac. I think that's like the most important but common misconception. How many generations of Jews have thought to themselves or have tried, say, the anti-Semitism will only end, you know, if we're just enough like them? But we always think, and this is exactly the point that Chazal tried to get across, and there are many ways, but really all you have to do is read a Chumash. Zacharnu es Hadagah. You know, the vast rabbinic literature on that pasuk, which is, you know, such a beautiful application of what's already the pshat. You know, Asher Achalnu b'Mitzrayim, chinam is the wistfulness and nostalgia for Egypt. It's not once, it's not twice, it's not three times, it's four times. Right? The rest of the Chumash, they're always talking about getting, you know, going back to Egypt. And that's whatever percentage left. Kal v'chomer, those that were never interested in leaving. So, you know, there's two very different things. One of them is physical oppression, right, which existed. But then there's the question of cultural assimilation. Goy mikarev goy is really all about, you know, the fact that the Jews were indistinguishable from the Egyptians. There's no other way to understand all the mitzvos of Bechor, ki li kol Bechor, right? That really, you know, everybody was the same. And the Jews, you know, in one moment differentiated themselves, but it was just that moment. And really, everybody, you know, tanis Bechoros. Minag Yisrael reflects this exact truth. It's a deep truth. So, you know, it's a sad reality, but we became deeply, deeply involved in Egyptian culture. You know, which is why the Torah has to say, you know, don't go back to Egypt many times. Torah is really worried always about us going back to Egypt three times, the Torah says it. And that's not even including the Kemaaseh Eretz Mitzrayim, Sasher Yeshavtem Balos Asus, right? The idea of wrenching the Jewish people out of Egypt is a very important issue in the Chumash. And you could really argue, in light of Meraglim, right, Nitna Rosh V'Nashuva Mitzrayim, fact is that generation may never really have been able to extract themselves from Egypt. It took a different generation to really, you know, bring into Eretz Yisrael, because it just, you know, we got them only so far. Moshe got them as far as they could be taken from Egypt. And that was the select group. Now, Shevet Levi, I admit, is a little bit of a different story, because I think Shevet Levi, part of the real story there, you know, is the idea that they had their own very affirmative culture. That's the story of Vayelech Ishmi Beis Levi, Vayikach Espas Levi. The Torah seems to, you know, indicate that, and certainly Chazal, you know, as Brischa Yin Soru, the idea that the Shevet Levi, you know, was always marching to their own drum, Mila Shem Elai, you know, they were, you know, in the Egel Hazav, what could be a more Egla Yefef Mitzrayim? The fact that Shevet Levi didn't participate, they were just like very different. They were, you know, an Am Bifnei Atzman, if I could use that expression, in Mitzrayim and in the Midbar. I don't doubt it. But as far as the rest of Klal Yisrael was concerned, don't think for a second, just because they were enslaved, that they weren't culturally, you know, really very deeply, deeply ensconced in Maase Eretz Mitzrayim, with everything that entailed. Okay, so we're going to pick it up there tomorrow with a special Shabbos angle here. It's not just the 10th, which we've now seen as a defining national moment, but it's also Shabbos.
How are they allowed to tithe?